Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, unless the Fluoride Action Network can stop that. But apparently we're next on the list after they went go and get it out of the capital, hopefully. And, you know, the thing about New Zealand is, ladies and gentlemen, it's remote. But it's not isolated. And New Zealanders are a very worldly people and often well-travelled. In fact, one-fifth of New Zealanders that currently walk the earth today, I think there's about 5 million, are actually living overseas. So, if you are listening to this program, understand that this is my form of international travel, namely because air travel is very expensive and I'm a broke-ass activist. And my very special guest is Luke McKee, coming at us from a undisclosed location due to his unfortunate harassment and whatnot. Luke, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you. Yeah, it's funny you're talking about fluoridation of the water supply. There was a scandal in Sydney. There's a website called tapsydney.com.au made by Sydney Water, where and a scandal came out. They spent $1.5 million to have a promotion to plug cafes that sell you fluoridated tap water with your coffee.
Unbelievable.
It was in the Daily Telegraph.
What are you here to talk about with us today here?
Well, what I'm here to talk about today is something I predicted would happen in an interview on 2GB 5 months ago, that the people who persecuted me out of Australia using exotic gang laws would take it to the next step and make it a crime. See, I'm not opposed on... Gay marriage is a more complicated issue than people give it credit. In Australia, they're making a law that will make it a crime for churches and mosques to discriminate. So the cover story is for that Catholic children, you know, who are gay in Christian schools could be expelled. But really, it could actually be used against people for not officiating gay marriage. And there's an interview on 2GB about the consequences of this law and how it's a human rights abuse, because the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights is a section called Freedom of Thought and Religion. And state-sponsored religious persecution is wrong. So to get started, would you like to hear that interview on 2GB, giving the lowdown?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go.
Good morning, Simon. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine, I'm fine. Sore throat, though, is a flu going around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to inject one new issue for your listeners tonight about the government's anti-discrimination laws they're trying to put in federally now.
Oh, yeah.
And add some more information about smart meters, what they're capable of through Wi-Fi dialing into your home appliances, as admitted on the Victorian government's fact sheet about it. Not a conspiracy if it comes from the government.
Oh, yeah,
you can look it up. So first of all, I'd like to talk about exemptions to the Anti-Discrimination Act. And that's a big issue now because certain lobbyists are trying to unexempt religious organizations. But the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights talks about freedom of thought and religion. And it also says men and women may marry regardless of and list of things. That's from the UN. And I want to mention that in history, royalty exempted themselves from common man's law.
Yeah.
And guess who is exempt from the New South Wales Anti-Discrimination Act?
Well,
someone.
We don't have any royalty here.
Well, let me read from the LawLink website.
Yeah.
New South Wales Anti-Discrimination Board. Exemptions from the Anti-Discrimination Act. Okay? It's, now, in the Act, the word heterosexual is not listed, so I'm talking about a blanket exemption here. I'll read verbatim now.
Yeah.
If you want to target a job, service, or program to gay men or lesbians, you don't need an exemption. This is because it's not against the law to discriminate against people who are not homosexual. It's only against the law to discriminate against people who are homosexual.
Are you still reading from it, or is that your summation of it?
That is verbatim from the LawLink New South Wales Government website, and I have read the Act, and the word heterosexual doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So if hypothetically, if a police officer was sent to your house under the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer program, who was of that persuasion by a gay neighbour who followed the instructions from the New South Wales Police website saying get to know your local Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer, not report crime.
Yeah.
And hypothetically, if you were discriminated against, the Anti-Discrimination Board says you are a victim of lawful discrimination. This happened.
This does happen.
This happened, yeah. If you Google 60C Crimes Act, you can see the whole story. But, you know, I actually mentioned this online and talked about, you know, now they're pushing for religious exemptions to be non-exempted. And I want to talk about the consequences of that change. Some people haven't thought about a few things when they're pushing through this law. And I made some comments on Facebook, and I got some interesting responses from it. Now, what I wrote was all politically correct. let me see. So the Anti-Discrimination Board does really have an exemption for gays. Why do gays want to unexempt churches and be exempt themselves? That's discrimination. You know, gays above God under law, and I'll give the link to the website, and, you know, it's not a conspiracy. And then I talked about, now, gays already have the power to sue church-owned and mosque-owned facilities.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a case in Victoria called Way Out versus the Brethren Church in VCAT that went to the Supreme Court and set a legal precedent. So the only reason the proposed law reform is to, you know, is to sue what happens inside a place of worship. Now, what goes on in a place of worship is marriage, also known as equal marriage now, and sermons. So the gay lobby already had, I mean, Are you familiar with the case of Way Out versus Brethren?
No, I'm not familiar with that one, no.
Okay, it was on Stateline and ABC in Victoria, but they took off the video, but everyone can look it up.
Oh, yeah.
A gay youth suicide prevention charity wanted to bring kids from the countryside into a church-owned camp and have sleepovers with, you know, pubescent, gay teenagers.
Yeah.
And, you know, it went to the court, and after...
But the church presumably said you can't do that.
Well, they said, we don't have a problem with you being gay. We have a problem with you promoting homosexuality to young children. And on those grounds, it's on our religious viewpoint, you can't use our land. And they were told by the magistrate that because it is not a place of worship, they cannot discriminate.
Wow.
Okay, so this actually happened.
So one magistrate can be a crucial part of a revolution.
Yes, and that's what happened. So the gays are still pushing for more power. So they've already got the reform they want. They can't put the cover story that, you know, Catholics can't hold hands and kiss at lunch without being expelled, all those stories like that, because they've already got that right to sue and the anti-discrimination board. So, the Minister of Appeals tribunals and so on and so forth if you appeal. So, now, what would happen if a mosque was approached and asked to do a gay marriage? Now, this is controversial, but the gay lobby had put a Islamic float in the Mardi Gras. So we do know this is in the realms of possibility that the imam and the trustees of the mosque would have to choose between doing the Islamic crime of subverting Islam and moderate Muslims...
Yeah.
would punish them with death, even overseas, with a fatwa?
Yeah.
Or do they settle and pay the homosexual for victimising them by discriminating and exercising their United Nations?
This is going to be a cash cow for some people.
Well,
I've got to go, Simon.
Hey.
Yeah, I got that, yep.
So I couldn't use my real name on 2GB because they don't like me. But what do you think? That's Brian Rilshaw on 2GB in Australia at nights. And he actually interviews Anne Blessington and fights Agenda 21. He's one of the few conservative radio hosts that is sometimes worth listening to. Sometimes.
Well, you know, nobody's worth listening to all the time. And then in the government's case, they're generally just not worth listening to at all. And in the police case, it's generally the same.
Oh, it's especially with the government broadcasters like the ABC. Last time on my show, on your show, we exposed the ABC persecuting an Aboriginal teenager, also accused of the 60C gang law they're using against me. And that's you chose the best highlight from the last appearance. But now the ABC's taken it a step further. They've interviewed a gay man about his journey to adopt he bought a Russian child, and that's the reason why Russia has banned all adoption for any single parent in any country that does gay marriage. That's from Putin. And all of America can never adopt an American, a Russian child again over an American and an Australian Vietnamese guy. Using their power they got in Australia with gay adoption. That's the third or fourth great achievement of the New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby on their homepage, History About Us timeline. The first and greatest being getting gay apartheid policing, where all heterosexual police are deemed inferior to the officers in charge of investigation if a homosexual points the finger. So it's mandated gay biased if anyone accused of a crime by a homosexual. And sometimes, like my case, it's not one officer's, but two officers decided in unison it's better to pervert the course of justice than pick up an innocent man's CCTV alibi that would exonerate me, the heterosexual, and incriminate a homosexual false witness. And the gay neighbour in my saga, who's R.J. Randall, who was arrested for same-sex domestic violence, I had no negative contact with her. We all heard last time the story was she was just merely a proxy for an illegal immigrant after a criminal justice bridging visa that would enable make her legal immigration status lawful again, and then you can marry off that to stay. So we rehashed my article. We're talking about the new law reforms in Australia, and I've traced it back to its roots. in the Fabian from the Fabian Society in England and the Labour Party. And there's a next segment. We'll play a clip from 60 Minutes USA, chronology of that, and showing that principals were running away and fleeing England to go to Australia. And now the last bastion of independent education is now going to be taken over. And the Reverend Fred Niles, I'm not affiliated with him at all, because, of course, he voted for 60C Crimes Act because he thought the bikies would... was an anti-bikie gang law, and he's against the bikies, so he was conned and he voted for this law. But he retweeted me on Twitter just before my Twitter account got shut down. Anyway, the people who shut my Twitter account down, I believe, was the ABC for talking about this radio interview they did. The guy was campaigning for gay marriage on his American university homepage, writing papers for gay marriage, and then the purpose of gay marriage and gay adoption for him was to abuse children. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, child abuse is kind of mandated globally, and I believe there's a large company, what's it called, DynCorp, which was recently indicted for a massive child trafficking, sex trafficking sort of scam. On top of that, not only is this... My personal belief is that there is a multi-billion-dollar industry of child kidnapping and human trafficking going around that is indeed mandated by higher authorities and kept protected by it. So if you start trying to expose it, these people who do lose their homes, lose their kids, lose their lives sometimes. And in terms of the homosexual agenda, just bear in mind, of course, we're not talking about all homosexuals. This is kind of like, just like a conspiracy with, say, Freemasonry, for example. You look at say, the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree. There's 99 men who are in the 33rd degree, 99 men in the know. And then there's millions upon millions upon millions of Freemasons who have no freaking clue whatsoever. So let's say there's a homosexual conspiracy kind of like that, where there'd be a certain chunk of them in the know and trying to subvert the normal course of justice and perhaps attempting to have some kind of legal restraint on anybody that might criticise their crimes and so on and so forth. And then as a result, whenever anybody tries to expose said agenda, oh, you're homophobic. Isn't that
also
perfect?
That's 60C, mate, crime of obtaining information on corrupt police, and that's a wildcard whistleblower execution framework.
All right. Well, Luke McKee is my guest, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. This show is listener-supported, so if you like the fact that we get on different activists, whistleblowers, and spend late nights in like three late nights in a row trying to get documentaries cut together for activists who don't have any video editing skill and have nobody else in the entire fracking country who cares enough to actually put the time and effort in to ensure that their words get out. If you value that service that is being conducted for the community, and I'm serious about this, if you value that, please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. There is a bank account number there. You can set up an automatic payment for any amount you wish. The average is $5 a month, sorry. Or you can use PayPal if you don't like to use the bank account numbers because PayPal takes a cut off of each and every transaction. And if you'd prefer that all of that funding go to new equipment and exposing scumbaggery, paying my internet and power and rent and food and so on and so forth, just the basics. I don't want to live high on the hog. It's just, I don't know. Basically, all I want to do is enjoy my life by exposing scumbaggery and helping the people who actually need help. That's what I want to do. So if you want to support me in doing that mission that I have been doing for many years now, please do so. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, subscribe, make an automatic payment today. And if you don't want to make an automatic payment, if you're like many of the people around the world that are living under a global banking cartel tyranny, and you do not have the financial security to give something regularly, just do a one-off donation of $5 or $20. Now, my very special guest is Luke McKee. Welcome back.
All right, on what you just said, if you're against global banker tyranny, get into Bitcoin. It's getting a lot of support now. It just keeps growing and growing. No bank fees, and that works. You can even cash it in New Zealand, I think. And, I also want to do a plug for my YouTube channel, which is the videos of shows I've been on and some ABC news stories that I've recaptioned, one of them being church camp sued for not allowing underage gay teen sex talk and gay mentors sleepover, and the other one being, which is very popular now, ABC accidentally adored child rapist boy love network member as model father, and lots of links on that video. And I'm very angry at the ABC for taking out all my Twitter accounts. So I feel like I want to inject a conspiracy theory in here, but would you let me?
This show's all about it. Well, before you do, I was just thinking ABC needs to go through some rebranding and call themselves ABS, standing for absolute bullshit, you know?
Well, it's really funny. When I downloaded the video from their website before, they titled it on actually the file name you download from their MPEG media streaming site, 7:30 Child Sex. What can I say? You know, it's on their 7:30 Facebook page is where I snapped it from. We're not homophobic here. I was recently watching CNN, you know, on the DVB broadcast here in Vietnam, and I saw I can't remember his name, but a very faint, the man of the hour for the gay rights lobby in America who got the victory in the Supreme Court. And he said, you know, none of the gay people, they cared about gay marriage. It wasn't an issue until George Bush himself made his 2005 election campaign. When I was in America, I saw it. I was there. I will stop gay marriage. Give me the mandate to kill 7 million Iraqis. And, look what happened. So he said that's why the gay lobby jumped on board with him with his court case. And he said the First Amendment rights of all Americans need to be protected. The religious groups that oppose us need to have their rights and freedoms protected. So even homosexuals in Australia, like Stephen Pickels from the third biggest radio station in Sydney, 2SER, who had his show pulled after interviewing me, who said he supports my cause, and, you know, famous gay lobbyists in America, they think what the Australian gay lobby is doing, making, you know, homosexual vilification law and non-exempting religious organisations and being above the law themselves. I mean, when I went to the Anti-Discrimination Board, and I actually put their refusal letter on my Scribd site, and if people want to interact with me, they can go to my Facebook site, facebook.com/greensvale. That's because the Greens, Lee Rhiannon, a gay rights activist, the first person to put gay marriage in New South Wales, a proposal for it, said that only corrupt police would use 60C Crimes Act. And Fabian Socialist Labor Peter Breen, MP, said if this law existed 10 years prior, the 60C gang law that's ruined my life, Tim Anderson, the man framed with the Hilton bombing, I think he's probably a COINTEL pro guy that got framed, would still be in jail.
I just love the irony there. A COINTEL pro guy who got framed.
Well, look, it happens all the time. Like the first World Trade Center bombing, it came out the FBI had run the whole operation. I mean, it happens all. That's how they do it.
Well, in fact, the bomber of the first World Trade Center bombing actually recorded his conversations with the FBI, and it turns out that he thought he would be doing a mock bombing for them. The FBI said, no, we're going to replace the fake bombs with real bombs.
Yeah, well, I contacted Tim Anderson, and he quickly banned me because he's a hardcore... look, I don't have a problem with lefty people, but it's going too far now that everyone else's rights are being infringed upon. So Tim Anderson himself blocked me on the internet. I said, hey, I'm accused of a law that, you know, your name was brought up to say why it shouldn't exist. Do you want to talk about it? And, you know... He blocked me. But the reason New South Wales Police doesn't have a special branch like the English Scotland Yard crew do is because of Justice Yeldon. We had a Royal Commission into paedophilia, and it took a Member of Parliament, I think Marina someone, a woman, to come up and expose him. He ran all the child abuse charities, one of the main child sexual abuse charities, and he was a gay paedophile. And Special Branch was shut down because he was a judge ruling on all the terrorism trials, and they gave him a free pass to rape children so people accused of terrorism could be framed. And that's why there's no Special Branch in New South Wales. Everyone knows it. So, I'm not pushing forward.
Didn't you have a recording that you wanted to play this segment?
Oh, yes. I have. It's broken up into little parts. It's 60 minutes... America talking about the origin of this far left, of the Fabian Society in England, and what they did in England, and even shows principals fleeing England to go to Australia, of all places, the other bastion of Labour, to get away from it. So yeah, this is what it's all about. It's not gay people. It's the militant homosexual gay mafia lobby that is pushing their historic agenda on the rest of us. Gay people shouldn't be accountable for their leaders, but gay people should try and get more balanced, more sensible leaders, like that guy who was on CNN, who got the gay marriage, you know, in the Supreme Court. And he was a conservative.
Personally, it sounds to me like it's not necessarily homosexual leaders. It's actual just a very small clique of homosexual Satanists who believe that they can gain power through rape and child abuse.
In Australia, there are three ones I'm going to point out. If your listeners type Sydney Star Observer, which is a gay newspaper, and Meet Your Greens, that's Kate Flanagan at the Greens and David Shoebridge pushing for this new law to sue churches. That first came up on the radar in 2010. Then Senthil and Raj, who is the head of Amnesty New South Wales. Obviously, Amnesty won't help a refugee like me, because all their leaders are gay. He wrote a story on thepunch.com.au saying, the righteous are feasting on religious freedoms. We need to sue them now. Look at their handiwork. Rachel Evans, leader of the Socialist Alliance Party of New South Wales, which I used to be a member before I woke up. I only went along with them because they're the biggest crowd in the Stop Cheney protests in 2006. That was an interesting protest because the police arrested the tranny cop street parade group for the crime of looking too much like the real special gay police, crime of impersonating a police officer, a month after they raided a rock gig at the Metro in Sydney and pulled Jay Stone, a lead guitarist for some band, off the stage for just wearing a police T-shirt on top, you know, a police uniform shirt, you know, when he's doing his gig. And both cases they lost, but not with cost. People had to pay all the legal fees for the crime of dressing up like cops and doing dancing on the street in the street process. So I helped the leftists the other day. I gave Occupy Sydney the address of the Lord Mayor, Clover Moore. And it's her henchman, who's in the Mardi Gras, Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras seat of Paddington, who has put forward a bill that that radio interview you heard on 2GB was 5 months ago. It's now reality. Alex Greenwich, MP, has pushed for a bill to fully non-exempt all religious organisations from the Anti-Discrimination Act. I have contacted his office, and they're refusing to release the bill until the very last second it hits the floor in the Parliament. Okay, so pretty much it's across the board, all the gay leaders, the Liberal gay leaders, the Greens, Labor, they've all got the same agenda, and it's a state-sponsored human rights abuse. And the gay people keep chanting, gay rights is human rights, gay rights is human rights. Well, why don't you want to be equal, Spunks? Why don't you want to be equal? Why don't you want to non-exempt yourselves from the Anti-Discrimination Act before you non-exempt religious organisations? It's a disaster. So, I'll play the first intro from 60 Minutes. It's broken into small segments.
How many minutes is
it? It's only five or 6 minutes in a few seconds.
We've already run out of time on the segment, mate. There's
51
only 3 minutes
seconds.
Left. 51
okay,
seconds?
Go. They're broken into small portions. Have a listen.
I wonder why we've turned Big Ben into a cuckoo clock. Well, the name of the story is the Loony Left, a group holding power in Britain's inner cities whose policies many believe are aimed at destabilizing both the party and the nation. The party is the Labour Party, currently the opposition to Margaret Thatcher's Conservative government. That party has traditionally practiced middle-of-the-road socialism, but its current leader, Neil Kinnock, possibly facing a general election very soon, is also facing a threat by extremists that could destroy him and the Labour Party. Tonight we touch on just a few examples of what's concerning many Englishmen. Some are quite frivolous, some outrageous, some anti-American. All of them aimed at the next generation of voters.
Years ago, and here's an example of a teacher fleeing England because of this.
Thus, non-competitive sports. Games without rules or scores or beginning, middle, or end. Winners, losers are out. Excellence is out. And so is at least one school principal who believed in it. Brian Dugan was principal of St. Jude's School in the borough of Southwark. The school excelled in sports and academics. When a number of Dugan's students won scholarships, the Board of Education accused him of practicing elitism, and he was told in future to discard all scholarship applications. He wouldn't, and he was suspended. Did you feel that you were not being ideological enough to satisfy the authority?
Absolutely, yes. This was the point. I either became more sympathetic towards the political aspects of education in London, or I resigned, and I chose to resign.
Dugan has left to find work in Australia. The Fenway Robson is also out. She is a 14-year-old high school girl in the borough of Camden. Her mother switched her school when she felt Nathanway was being victimized by teachers with a Marxist view of history. One teacher was discussing the Cuban Missile Crisis.
And he said the Russians had every right to send missiles into Cuba, because that was his personal view.
Okay, so the next two examples are going to be more hardcore. You want to go to the next segment? Or you got time for another minute?
Yeah, one more minute.
The councils have put out the welcome sign to every special interest. The Brent African Women's Council, already subsidized by the borough, demands and gets certain food changes in the schools, trying the patience of the borough's education chief, himself a dedicated non-racist socialist.
What do they have? Do they have okra soup? Have they got jollof fries? Do they eat fufu? And yam, plantain?
We are providing yam, for example, at lunchtime in schools as a staple vegetable.
Personally, honestly, I went to my son's school and I visited, I went at lunchtime. I did not see yam or plantain.
Just because it wasn't there today, it doesn't mean to say it isn't there every day.
Awesome.
Because there's a different menu every day. We've got five different
dishes. How can you justify the fact that my child goes to school, an African child goes to school, or you want me, in fact, I would not let my child go to school.
The main thing in this 60 Minutes is the ending, and that is the gay lobby in England physically attacking and persecuting everyday mothers who are upset about a book teaching children how wonderful it is to have two gay dads. And we'll play that. It's a 4-minute clip.
We don't have time for that this segment, so we'll cover that next segment. So we'll be right back after this break, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, here's the thing. I've found this very interesting, and I think you might find it interesting too, Luke, that if you talk about race, if you talk about sexuality, or if you talk about politics, you're automatically racist, homophobic, or an idiot. Isn't that interesting?
I never cared about them until gays with guns came to my front door, and it took me like a month to work out the officers were gay.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, we only have a few minutes to get through all these recordings. So, Luke, if you would be so kind.
Okay, last recording from 60 Minutes.
Homosexuality be encouraged in the schools. It hit a nerve in a community that had hitherto been supportive or indifferent to the council's policies. The anger centered on a couple of books, especially this one, Jenny Lives with Eric and Martin, a picture book about a little girl, age 5, who lives with her father and his homosexual lover. Gay parents' rights group turned up at the council meeting to complain. The council, with its labor majority, voted to have those hated racist police remove the parents. Bernie Grant is leader of the Haringey Council.
Mayor, can I say that I have not been supplied with a copy of the book, Jenny Lives with Eric and Martin. The question asks whether I support fully the council's homosexual and lesbian policies. The answer to that is yes.
There is a genuine feeling among the parents group that what is at stake here goes way beyond homosexual rights or positive images, that it is a direct ideological attack on the family. Another book that angers them is an American publication for age 5 and up, which includes a how-to on masturbation.
That's not what I sent my child to school for.
Children in school in Haringey?
Yes, if we're teaching, I'd say I'm taking that to school. There's no way I'm having my kids talk that rubbish. No way.
Why should it be left to us parents to teach our children what we want?
The defense of this is that they're trying to say that they're trying to teach the children non-sexism, non-racism.
But where does it end? Why can't we teach our children that? It's the way we bring up our children.
Do you think that there is political indoctrination going on in the schools?
Indoctrination. All these big words. I mean, I'm just a normal mum, you know. But they're using their politics with our children. They're not going to. Mine.
Out of order. They want to ruin family life.
Wait, can I just say one?
I, for one, will never, ever vote for them again.
When a small group from parents' rights assembled to hold an all-night vigil at the Haringey Town Hall, it was met by a counter-protest of gay liberation people bussed in from all over London. This time, the abuse was just verbal. Other times, the women were urinated upon.
You are the ones that want to come in and dictate to our children what's right, what you do behind your own doors is your business.
Women are not by any definition what the British call gay bashers, nor are they right-wing fanatics. They are or were Labour supporters, many of whom now believe that social justice gone haywire can be no justice at all.
Okay, well, there you have it. That's 60 Minutes America. Apology for the audio quality. It was off a very old VHS.
Okay.
Okay, now, I'd like to tell everyone, like, the people, the majority, are the 99%.
Have you gone outside in the wind or something?
There is a fan here which needs to be turned off. Okay, it's disabled.
That's better.
Otherwise, I'll get it now. Okay, good. Okay, so, I did help out Occupy Sydney the other day. I gave them the home address of the Lord Mayor of Sydney, whose henchmen started this new law to sue religious organisations. If you don't believe it happens, beatproject.org.au is campaigning for gay sex in public parks. When do they want it? Now. And any police officer who obstructs the right of gay people to have sex in children's parks must be taken to the Anti-Discrimination Board. Look at their own website.
Oh, my God.
Beatproject.org.au.
You okay? Can't make this up. You can't
I joined their mailing list and I found out they were going to attack Christians in the protests and do violence. On my Facebook page, facebook.com Greensvale, a long time ago, I predicted it and it happened in the newspapers the next day. These are these people. Okay, now the other thing, so I gave the Lord Mayor of Sydney's home address to Occupy Sydney.
Do I have the right to have heterosexual sex in children's parks?
No, you cannot do dogging because it's a crime, but you can't claim you're discriminated against because you can't claim you're being discriminated against because you're heterosexual. Only gays have that privilege because gays are above God under law.
Maybe they're just trying to step in and protect their member.
Well, so I gave Occupy Sydney the home address of Clover Moore in her own handwriting from a leak from the New South Wales Election Commission. If your listeners go to tinyurl.com/Strathfield, that's a town in Sydney, they can see a video, which is just a bombshell. It shows that I'm also anti-Liberal Party in Australia, so no one can pigeonhole me. I download from a government website by pressing a single keystroke that information, okay? And then the government falsely accused me of cyber terrorism. And the leader of the secretive New South Wales Liberal Party state executive, Joseph Tanos, I've got a recording of him giving me a threat here, for this. I've been Korean National Police Agency, Cyber Terrorist Police, raided my workplace in Korea. And it was the government's crime of breaching the Privacy Act, 50 penalty units, for sharing the data without a password. It didn't do any hacking, okay? And so I fled Korea, the police, one day before the police raided my work. I fled Australia 3 days before they raided my house, even though admitting they're plotting to get me in the 60C search warrant. Next time we'll play audio tape of me falsely being accused of a bomb threat to bomb the Australian embassy in China after I did my burned passport MP4 video. They are coming for me, just like the other whistleblower you had on the other day. We had an audio trouble with that YouTube video, I think, about the Masonic Order. So they're after me. And listen to them say it themselves. Okay?
Yep.
Also, they say they control the mainstream media, and when the time comes, they'll use it against me. And these Liberal lobbyists for first state government relations and consultants, their biggest customer is the biggest communist China Railways Limited Company, the biggest financial entity in China. And Barry O'Farrell, the leader of the Liberal Party, is himself saying in the People's Daily newspaper in China, we will help you get the rail contract. He gives it to his own lobbyists to get more money from communist China than Australia. And as state executive members, they have the power to pre-select or veto any candidate. So the Communist Party of China must approve who's a Liberal. So have a listen to what they say to me.
You've already been hunted down for the way that you've hacked into the New South Wales Electoral Commission website.
I didn't hack in. You know that
you've got it on YouTube, you dope, and everybody's seen it now, including the New South Wales Electoral Commission. That form is not public knowledge. So I think before you start making accusations and allegations that you ought to be very, very careful. We also know about all the corrupt activities that you've been doing in Korea. People know. Well, you should go and look.
I have an F2 visa. I can work anywhere I want.
Of course you can. And that's why you sit there and apologise to people in Korea in the language that you can hardly talk and speak. And apologise about the way you've treated kids. So if I were you, I'd be very careful. Very, very careful. A number of people... Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you're really not a deal, you're a
deluded. You're very deluded. You're promised carbon credits to foreign companies.
I'm as deluded as you are. If I'm deluded, you're deluded.
I'll let the media. Nick, on Monday there will be a podcast and you guys will be toast.
So in that podcast, you should put up there that put your apology that you made to the Korean government and to the Korean people, because if you don't, we will also be putting that up for you. And we will also be telling the media about your activities in Korea that you have.
I think they control the media, and the New Zealand Herald guy who does all the stories about wonderful stories about, you know, North Korean warships coming into your harbour and everything. His name just escaped me. The guys wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do a story about two New Zealand schools. One is Wariaru in Auckland, sending their kids to work for profit for Jeju International English Village, a business. I was interviewed by KBS National News in HD on primetime, and the Jeju documentary did a special. It's all on my YouTube channel, right, about New Zealand kids being sold for profit, child labour and job ads for working children this guy was running. And the guy in Korea who ran this Jeju International English Village is a Democrat United Party member of Korea, blog.minjoo.kr/591, who makes the country's educational law, has a business selling foreign children. Just look up Jeju International English Village. And, I mean, they're selling New Zealand kids' child labour services as teachers for profit. And it's like...
See, this is exactly what I was just talking about a couple of minutes ago, wasn't it? The global ring going on here, and unfortunately, look, we've run out of time. If you've got, if you've got a website, could you plug your YouTube channel, please?
Well, okay,
get people to do that. You've got like 10 seconds.
tinyurl.com/homocopvictim. It's all my best videos, including on your show and others, and my YouTube channel's there. tinyurl.com/homocopvictim. Okay. People can use that forum to ask any questions and ask for any documentary proof they require about my situation.
All right, Luke, thank you very much for your time. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Next hour, we are having on Suzanne Posel from Occupy Corporatism to have a bit of a news update. Back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.